Once again, I'm joined by Matt Stringer, the Chief Executive of RNIB, for our regular weekly catch-up, and we look at some of the news coming from RNIB. Thanks for joining us once again, Matt.
Always a pleasure to be here with you.
I would like to start, though, with a look at social distancing and Give Me Space, because there's been quite a bit on this recently in the news, and indeed RNIB has been collaborating to produce some pretty stylish Give Me Space items.
As we've spoken many times, as society unlocks, and clearly we're in a relatively fluid period of local lockdowns being imposed and people having their movement a little restricted in parts of the country, but averagely people can move around a bit more easily now than, say, 3 or 4 months ago. And one of the big challenges has been people having confidence to do that and being able to know that other elements of society, whether it's individuals or organisations, are able to know and give you space. And we've been working across the sector on Please Give Me Space as a concept. Out of that, there are a number of products that we call wearables, things that blind and partially sighted people can wear or have on their person that makes the point to other people that, you know, can you please just give this person a bit of space because they're blind and partially sighted, and, you know, you need to make sure you allow for that and give them some space and allow them to have that couple of meters in society to keep themselves safe. Very fetching these products are too, Alan. I'm looking at them now, but they're a sort of black background with a yellow circle with a black symbol in with a couple of arrows to denote space. I've got a very fetching snood and a mask here, but they are eye-catching. They are actually very attractive, and, you know, it's a great idea to give blind and partially sighted people the ability to wear something that lets people know that they should just give them a bit more space.
And it is partly around that hidden disabilities thing, because some people with sight loss don't have a guide dog, they don't have a cane, so they will need perhaps the sighted community to help them, as I say, give that socially distant space. But also, I think it shows as well that you can offer assistance verbally to someone as well.
Society is not great at knowing how to interact with blind and partially sighted people, particularly in a slightly nervous times that we're in. Being confident with verbal, with questions and help and assistance. And actually, you are allowed to give people guidance physically. And as we've talked on this programme before, you know, there is official government guidance that we've been integral in pulling together, which allows people to be guided safely as well. So there's no reason why people cannot step in if they see help is needed and provide it. And, you know, there's been a very well documented case in the last sort of week of a lad on the tube in London who was left without help with Transport for London staff at that station anyway, not knowing quite what to do and leaving this poor lad to sort of career around the station. So, you know, you get real life examples of how it's not quite working well enough yet.
And that's RNIB customers, you know, helping the charity to work with Hidden Disability Sunflower as well. So, you know, a great example of listening to what customers are having problems with, listening to what they're suggesting and collaborating with other organisations.
Over the last 6 months, there's been a narrative of concern on getting access to sort of food and medicines, wanting to make sure all information was accessible, and then moving through in the last few months to help and assistance to be able to negotiate society as it unlocks. And, you know, we've been working with many sectors and types of business and organisation to make that happen. One of the things that we have learnt in that time is working closely with other charity partners in our sector. Clearly, there are big charities, Guide Dogs, Thomas Pocklington Trust. There are smaller societies. And I think, you know, all of us have realised that there's an onus on us to work really closely together for the benefit of our beneficiaries. I've got a session today with CEOs of other major sort of charities and bodies that represent some of the smaller charities to, you know, formalise how we sort of go forward and take those lessons that we've been working with in sort of real time through lockdown into a more sustainable sort of process. So, you know, that's the really good initiative, I think, that's come out of coronavirus.
And when you look at sight loss charities in the UK, Matt, you know, there are hundreds, if not, I know there used to be thousands of them, you know, all competing for funds, for grants, and perhaps overlapping services as well. Do you think that the pandemic has perhaps forced a spotlight on the charities again to perhaps look at the income and indeed working better in partnership?
In a crisis, you know, it lays bare good things and bad things. And I think, you know, we've seen the good side of coming together with other partners, other charities, as you say, and sort of pulling together in one direction efficiently without any duplication of effort and delivering on what we know that our customers are telling us they need. And, you know, as you know, we get about 5,000 calls a week through the helpline, for example. So we're not short of good data. to know what to do with. And when you add that to the insight that the other charities have, you build a very, very sort of rich picture of knowing what to do. In terms of, you know, ultimate rationalization, I think you've got to be careful a bit. I mean, I think there is a positive tension out of having charities who do slightly different things, because you get a bit more specialism. And I think certainly, you know, some of the big national charities like ourselves and Guide Dogs have scale and reach across the nation and have the resources to look at data and analyse and pull out information and have contacts, you know, with government and other organisations at a senior level. But equally, you know, local societies know their patch, and, you know, they have their antennae very finely tuned to what people need in their county or in their city. And I think there's a place for both. I think the onus on us is to sort of stitch that together in a slightly more organised way.
More to come on that, no doubt, Matt. Next week will be National Braille Week here in the UK. And I just wanted to flag up actually something which tugged at my childhood heartstrings, is that Lego have products now with Braille on them.
They do. So we've had this relationship for a bit with Lego, who've been a great partner, actually. So the latest news is the launch of a new sort of toolkit of Lego bricks that have been adjusted to correspond to the unified English Braille alphabet. So each brick has a printed letter or character to ensure that the tool is inclusive. You know, we've done that work with the Lego Foundation in the UK to do that, and we will be helping distribute that across schools and other sort of education channels starting now. So that's sort of got some imminent impact. And a bit like you, I can remember making relatively basic Lego products in my youth. The Empire State Building and the sort of Battlestar Galactica weren't available there. In my day, we used to make some relatively basic things, but, you know, great educational tool, and it's a fabulous relationship that we've got with Lego. We're delighted that we can bring that to the market for the autumn.
Happy days spent with the Lego bricks, not standing on them, mind you. Now, we have talked a lot over the past few weeks, Matt, about Marathon Mates. We've been involved in that. It has now drawn to a close, a big success, but the fundraising goes on.
You know, Marathon Mates has been great. Between myself and my son, we just about managed to go over 42Ks. I've done about 28 of them. I'm not too sure. He's done more than 14, I think, running around at university. But yeah, it's been great. And I think we've had a lot of fun internally in the organisation, posting videos and updates on our internal workplace social media. So, you know, it's done the job of both bringing in a bit of money for us and being something which allows us to get the message out externally, but also have some fun inside the organisation. But, you know, the end of September and the start of October doesn't signal a complete, you know, downing of tools when it comes to this sort of thing. So, you know, as we all know, the London Marathon this year is only an elite race, which is this weekend. People are doing a virtual sort of marathon as well. So thousands and thousands of people up and down the country doing that. And we have people doing it and raising funds for us. And actually, I'm delighted that I'm looking at the BBC website now, which gives, you know, background to a number of people who are doing it. And we have Maksud Sheikh on there from Bradford, who's 50, and he should have been taking part in his first. So his first time, he would have experienced it. He would have had a great time, but he can't run around the course. But he's running with a guide runner, Donna, and they're doing it together around sort of Rochdale and that part of Lancashire. So Maksud is just one example of the great support we get from, you know, a number of people up and down the country who normally would have been coming to London well last April. Yeah, delighted and really appreciative of the efforts of the likes of Maksud and others.
Absolutely. Good luck to them and everyone who's running to raise funds for RNIB and all the runners anyway getting out there and running virtually. If you'd like more information from RNIB, any sight loss questions, or you want to learn more about products or work or fundraising, whole host of information available on the website at rnib.org.uk. And of course, the helpline is there for you as well. 0303 123 9999. Matt, we'll speak next week, but thanks for taking the time to join us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thanks very much, Alan. Nice to speak to you.